In our text for this morning, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, Peter writes these words. He speaks to us here about what is taking place and what we need to know. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Last Sunday morning, I began a series of sermons for the next 8 to 10 weeks on spiritual warfare. I believe if there was ever a time that the church needs to be on guard and to know about spiritual warfare, I believe it's in the days that you and I are living in, because we are in a battle for eternity. In the first sermon, which was last Sunday morning, we talked about the reality that you and I are involved in an invisible war. Now, if God simply peeled back the curtains of time and would let us see out there what is happening in the visible realm that you and I are in, you and I certainly see all the many things that are taking place, the evils that are perpetrated upon this world and in this world. But if we could also see, if God peeled back the curtains, then we could see behind the scene the invisible battle that is taking place. I'm sure that each one of us would be truly astonished and amazed. Chip Ingram, in his book on spiritual warfare, he says this. He says, the truth is that there is an invisible world that is just as real as the visible world. There are vast numbers of angels, both good and bad spirits, that exist all around us. There are glorious beings that would take our breath away if we saw them, and there are evil beings that would horrify us if we could see them. We're involved in an invisible war, a cosmic conflict that has eternal implications. It's real, it's serious, and it is ultimate in its consequences. We're soldiers in the battle that matters most. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We looked at that last week, and that our war is not according to the flesh. In other words, this is not a physical war that we're speaking about this morning, but it's a spiritual war, and this spiritual war has eternal and spiritual consequences. There's a visible and an invisible world that intersect, and you and I live in this intersection. It's a cosmic conflict, and it's raging, and there are eternal implications to consider. The souls of men and women and children, of people of every nationality and color and language, all over the planet, all over this world, are at stake. And the enemy seeks to blind all of us to the truth. The enemy seeks to dull our souls, and the enemy seeks to ruin our lives. And that's what spiritual warfare is all about. So this morning, we come to an important message in our series, and it's taken here from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. I want us to recognize an important truth this morning. You and I have an enemy. In 1 Peter 5, 8, once again, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then he says, resist him in verse 9. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The NIV says it like this: be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And I tell you, it wouldn't take us long to look back to what's happened in this past week and to see all that the Christians in Afghanistan are experiencing this morning. Let me tell you, not only is there a physical war that's taking place over there, but there is a spiritual, invisible war, and Satan is the enemy and trying to come against them. I think about the Christians in China, those that are having to experience all of the persecution and that they cannot worship God as they please. I think about the Cuban Christians this morning. And I think about all of the other Christians all over the world and various nations of this world. Let me tell you, I can assure you they all have an enemy, and the enemy is their adversary, and their adversary is the devil. Maybe you remember the first time you ever heard Osama bin Laden's name. It was in connection with the bombing of the naval destroyer, the USS Cole, while it was refueling there in Yemen. And in that one skirmish that happened, that bombing that took place, 17 sailors were killed and 38 more were injured. I remember hearing those things on the news and watching some of the scenes of that, and I could not help but think, why would anyone do something so horribly heinous? We all remember where we were probably on 9/11. I think of the reality of terrorism. It hit the United States in an unsettling way. You know, it's hard to believe that someone would hate us just because we're Americans, or simply hate us because of our way of democracy and our way of freedom and our way of life. Now, some people think the way to win the war on terror is to win over the terrorist. That if we would just show them the kindness of love, they would understand and change their ways. But let me tell you, I've noticed they still hate us. And the reason they hate us, it's hard to comprehend that, but the reason they hate us is because of a spiritual enemy out there that absolutely hates you and me. He hates you and me because God loves the peoples of this world. God loves you and me. And they can't rationalize with him or sympathize with him or reason with him. You see, we can't reason with those kinds of people. You have an enemy this morning out there in the world that hates you. And he hates you because of the God who loves you and the God who gave himself for you. There are three things this morning I want you to take away. They're in your bulletin for this morning. Number one, what should be our attitude in spiritual warfare? Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the very first part of that verse says, be sober, be vigilant. Let me give you an explanation. Peter is writing here to a bunch of believers. They're facing all kinds of challenges. They're in the midst of temptation. They're suffering from persecution. And Peter wants them to understand that one of the reasons they're facing so many problems is because they have this spiritual enemy who's made them the target of his attacks. Now, what should our attitude be today toward spiritual warfare? Well, our instruction is very clear here in 1 Peter 5, 8. He says, be sober minded, be watchful. That's what he's trying to say there. In other words, this is serious. It's not a joking matter. We're to be sober minded. Have you noticed how the world loves to make fun and joke about the devil? Let me give you an illustration. There was a commercial that advertised on television, the television streaming service Hulu. And in that commercial, there was a lady on a couch. She was answering questions from the interviewer, and she gave her name as 2020. Next to her was Hollywood's idea that they want you to believe about Satan. He's dressed up in a red costume, giant horns, he has a scratchy voice, and the point of the commercial was that the year 2020 and Satan had found each other on a dating site, and that was the reason 2020 was so awful. Do you know who Satan is in the world. Do you know what Satan is in the world? Let me tell you, to the world looks out and just thinks that Satan is a big joke. He's just some punchline they can use. And that's the way that the enemy likes it. That's the way the devil likes it. I want you to know that we ought to be sober-minded. That ought to be our attitude, sober-minded. You see, it's no laughing matter. And that word vigilant means to be watchful. It means to be alert. It means to stay awake. And so the spiritual forces that come against Christians, not only directly, but often they come very subtly. They demand that those who love Jesus Christ maintain such vigilance. The Lord Jesus warned his disciples in the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 in the New International Version. Watch and pray, Jesus said, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now let me give you an application. You have an enemy. Believe that. That's no joke. We should be armed. We should be aware. We should be alert. And when it comes to facing this enemy of our souls, the Bible tells us to be watchful. We better be on top of our game because our enemy is not playing tag. The enemy is out to destroy your life. And so our attitude in this spiritual warfare is be alert, be watchful, be vigilant, be on guard, wake up, see what's happening all around you. Secondly, this morning, I want you to notice our adversary in this spiritual war. Not only our attitude, what it should be, but our adversary. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the B part of that. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, who's that? The devil. What does he do? He walks about, how? Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, not only do we see how we are to approach this enemy when it comes to spiritual warfare, but we are to see how important it is to know who the enemy is. The Bible says this enemy is an adversary. He's the devil. To put it another way, Satan is after you and me. No matter who you are, no matter what your lot and station is in life, no matter your income, it doesn't matter how successful you are or how well known you happen to be, Satan seeks to overpower you. What's worse is that he's become very successful and he carries out his schemes in an effort to do that. He's the adversary. What does that mean, young people? The devil is your adversary. He's your enemy. The one who opposes the things of God and will do anything in order to try to thwart God's kingdom rule and God's purposes in this life. And the Bible tells us that he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now the lion, I think all of us could agree this morning, if any of you ever watch any of those stations on television that talks about Nat Geo Wild and all of the things that are out there as they go throughout the world and they show some of the most vicious of enemies and the venomous snakes and all of those things in the animal kingdom world, you will find that the lion is powerful. It's a powerful image. The lion prowls for one reason. They're looking for something that's easy to pounce upon to kill. We usually don't fall victim to our enemy if we're strong. And he's watching for us at the right time, in the right way. And when you're alone, by yourself, and you're tired, or you're traveling, or when it's late at night and everybody's gone to bed, whenever you may be the most vulnerable, that's when the enemy strikes. Not only will he try to devour you out there on the front end, he comes in long afterward and then smothers you in guilt and condemnation. In other words, the enemy will come, young people, to you and say, you call yourself a Christian? really? I mean, Christians don't do what you just did. You're a terrible person. You're a big hypocrite. You're not even close to the real deal. You see, the initial temptation is powerful, but sometimes the shame of giving in to it's even worse, and he plays us off as ourselves to a downward cycle. And he keeps us covered and smothered in our guilt. Let me give you an illustration. Those involved in leading troops into military conflicts will tell you they practice a similar approach. In fact, in Robert Greene's The 33 Strategies of War, which consolidates winning strategies from the lines of Napoleon Bonaparte, Alexander the Great, and Lawrence of Arabia, the first key piece of advice offered is know your enemy. Know your enemy. Folks, let me tell you, I'm not lying this morning. The enemy is alive. The enemy is well. The enemy is doing everything in the enemy's power to destroy, to divide churches, to divide nations, to divide friendships, to divide families, to divide children from families, to divide employer and employees. Let me tell you, the enemy is alive. Satan, he's like a roaring lion. Let me tell you, when the lion roars, it's whenever he's got his prey in his sight and he's just about to pounce on that prey. And Satan wants to tear your life apart. He wants to destroy your personal testimony. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy the family. He wants to destroy your life. So in this invisible battle that you and I are fighting this morning, this cosmic battle that you and I can only see the repercussions of, let me tell you, there's an attitude. Peter said, here's your attitude. Be sober, be watchful, be alert. Wake up. Know what's happening all around you. That's the attitude. But he says there's an adversary in this spiritual battle, and it's the devil and his minions, his demons, those many fallen angels that fell with him when he went against God because of pride in his life. But there's a third thing this morning you and I need to take away from this. What's our assignment? We know our attitude, to be watchful, to be alert, to be on guard, to be on our game. We know that we have an adversary, that's the devil and his minions. But thirdly, what is your assignment in this spiritual warfare? What's my assignment? Notice Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 9, Peter says, here's your assignment. Resist him, the enemy, the devil, the adversary. Resist him. He said, steadfast in the faith. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your firm foundation, that you know that you are fighting this spiritual battle out there in the world. If I've ever in all of my life seen the enemy more intensified, I believe it began in 2020. I don't know about you. I've read lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of articles and listened to lots and lots and lots of speakers about this topic and about this subject. And I can assure you that all of them realize the intensity of 2020 seemed to change everything in the world. And you and I are living in this intersection of time between this invisible spiritual warfare that's going on and the visible world that you and I see with our visible eyes. Let me tell you, you and I are soldiers in this battle. Did you know that? We sing the song Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. Little kids years ago, young people used to sing, I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Any of y'all remember that little song? Oh, I see a lot of hands out there. Let me tell you, we're in the Lord's army. We've been drafted into the army if you're a child of God. You and I have a responsibility. It's either fight or flight. We can either run and hide or we can fight the enemy. But let me tell you, let me give you the victorious thing. We're on the winning side. The victory was won 2,000 years ago at Calvary on an old rugged cross when Jesus hung there and gave his life and shed his blood for the sins that he never committed in this world. And he rose victoriously over the grave on that Easter Sunday morning. And let me tell you, he lives forever. The Bible says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's making intercession for you and me this morning. Did you realize, young people, he's praying for you? He's praying for you today when you don't even know how to pray sometime. Let me tell you, he's a great intercessor for you and me this morning. What is our assignment? Peter says, resist him, the enemy, the adversary, the devil, firm in your faith. Not only do we recognize the enemy and understand who the enemy is, we are called on a mission, on an assignment to resist our enemy and to stand firm in the faith. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God would have given us these instructions in his standard book called the Bible? Do you think God would give us these instructions if we couldn't resist the enemy? God has told us how we can fight this invisible war that's going on all around us. We can do it because we've been given the rule book. We know what God says. Our enemy is unable to control us when we resist the enemy and we stand strong in our faith. God has given us a command to resist the devil. And our responsibility is to stand firm in our faith. This means that we take our stand on the Word of God and we refuse the power of the devil to be moved. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, Paul, writing once again to the church at Ephesus, he instructs us to stand, withstand, stand. You see, unless you and I stand, we cannot withstand. And the weapons that we use were these that I spoke about last Sunday. First of all, the cross. Let me tell you, when Satan, the enemy, comes, when he sends temptations to you through various things in the world, remind him of the cross. Remind him that Jesus defeated the powers of Satan at the cross. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. You and I have the cross to go back to. Let me tell you, when the tempter comes to you, do what Jesus did. Jesus quoted the Word of God. That's another weapon that you and I have, the Word of God. You see, greater is he that's in me, the Lord Jesus, than he, Satan, that is in the world. Let me tell you, you and I have the cross to go to as one of our weapons. We have the Bible to turn to quote to the enemy. But we also have the Holy Spirit that lives within our heart and life. He is a weapon, and as long as we're guided by the Holy Spirit, as long as we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, as long as we are being led by the Holy Spirit of God, that's a great weapon that you and I have. And there's a fourth weapon, prayer. Prayer, to pray every day that the Lord Jesus would keep us firm in our faith. As Ephesians 6 says, our protection is in the complete armor that God has provided. We resist the devil in the faith. That is our faith in God. Just as David stood against Goliath, he trusted in the name of Jehovah Almighty God. And so you and I are to take our stand against the devil and his demons through Jesus Christ. Notice that phrase at the end of verse 9, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Young people, you know what that's saying? It's saying that there are youth all over the world. There are men and women and boys and girls all over the world that are being persecuted and they're suffering in this invisible battle that you and I are struggling with day by day. God is telling us there, we're not alone. One of the most subtle strategies of the enemy is to get you to believe that you are alone. I love to hear Craig Lovett sing, "You're Not Alone." That song just says it all. You're not alone. Let me tell you, the enemy wants you to believe that you're alone in your time of temptation, or that you're alone in your sin, or that you're alone in the struggles that you're going through. And one of his vicious attacks is isolation. He'll torture you by saying, you're the only one who's ever had these thoughts. You're the only one that's ever sinned so badly. You're the only one that has ever failed so miserably. Young people, don't fall for the lies of Satan. You see, the same kinds of suffering are being experienced this morning all over the world by other Christians, your brothers and sisters. Sadly, if you look closely at Christian circles today, we see many believers, many Christians that are prisoners of war and camps that are run by the enemy. Let me explain. Satan has overpowered a lot of Christians this morning. He's overpowered them, and they're prisoners of war in the area of drugs, in the area of alcohol, in the area of relationships, in the area of sex and pornography and bitterness and hopelessness and discouragement and depression and arrogance and pride and codependency. Now, there's all kinds of fancy names for those given by psychologists, but I want you to know essentially what Satan has done is he's turned an overcoming, blood-bought child of the king and to a prisoner of war held hostage by insecurities and inaccuracies. And if Satan can cripple or destroy an individual, let me tell you, he's that much farther along in crippling families and churches and societies. Let me give you an application. We don't need to live our lives in defeat this morning. While it's important for us to understand that we do have this adversary, this enemy, it's also important to remember that enemy has been defeated. In the book of James chapter 4 and verse 7, James says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. You see, the problem is most of us don't resist the devil. James said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Peter said to resist him. And while we realize the enemy's at large, you and I should not fear him. We need to become aware of the methods and not be preoccupied with them. I'm grateful to know this morning that Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty over there in Israel. The throne in heaven is occupied this morning. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, that's God in you, Jesus in you. The Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart and life. And it's the Holy Spirit that can make you victorious over the temptations that come your way. Let me tell you, it's through the Holy Spirit's control. You and I don't have the power in our flesh, but the Holy Spirit has the power and enables us with the power to live life in such a victorious way. I'm grateful to know Satan is not omnipresent. God is omnipresent. But Satan is not. Satan, young people, can't be everywhere at the same time. Now, evil is everywhere. Fallen angels, demons are everywhere. But I'm grateful to know that Satan is not omniscient. Satan does not know everything. Satan knows some things, but God is only omniscient. I'm grateful this morning to know that the great advice for you and me in this spiritual warfare is this: know your enemy, but know who's more powerful. Know who has won the victory for you and for me, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he defeated the sin of this world, he defeated the powers of Satan in this world. Let me tell you, even though these things continue to rage, it's only for a short period of duration, because one of these days, according to the Bible, Jesus is coming again. The question this morning is, do you know Jesus? Have you asked him into your heart and life? Would you stand as we pray together this morning?